what's going on. And as Matt Brody reminded me last night, the hashtag for that is simply, you know, the pound sign and UMAC. There are some images posted from yesterday, even some from this morning, and a little video clip that I did from Cecil Williams' talk yesterday at Glide Memorial. So just the hashtag for UMAC.
Excellent, Art. Thank you. Kate, I invite you up to do a welcoming prayer.
Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together, to learn, to be about your business of spreading the good news. We ask that you be present in all that we do, in our conversations, in our thoughts, in our intent, and that you direct our path. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. We're going to go through this agenda fairly quickly because there's material that's going to be handed out or will be up on the web for you to review before we ask you to make any decisions. So I would like to invite, oh, by the way, I'm Sandy, I'm the president, and I would like to invite Roya James up, and we have made a decision as the executive board that we will be introducing a registrar to the position on the board. And the registrar is going to take care of handling all the event registration and funneling the awards. It had gotten kind of hairy this year because it was going to three different places. And Roya got to be the registrar. So welcome to your new registrar.
Good morning. In an effort to reach out to more local church communicators, the UMAC board felt it was important to extend a special invitation to church communicators in the Cal Nevada Annual Conference. Our hope is that this meeting will give them the opportunity to take advantage of the innovative workshops, abundance of resources, and networking opportunities that many annual conference communicators experience every year. So now, on behalf of United Methodist Association of Communicators, we would like to welcome and introduce the conference staff and local church communicators from the Cal Nevada Annual Conference. So please stand as I call your name to be recognized. Mike Fillmore. Mark Sargent. Jill Israels. Ellen Randall. Deb Howie, Patrick Solomon, Charlotte Butcher, Relina Apito, Danny Fonseca, Amelia Chua. I also like to introduce Kate Monahan. She is the Annual Conference Director of Communications and our Vice President for UMAC. And Jane Hurstman, is she in here? Thank you for your active participation and planning and participating with the United Methodist Association of Communicators.
Could I have the agenda back? I guess I need to invite me up to introduce the UMAC officers. And would you please stand when I call your name? I'm standing. I'm the president. This is Sandra Brands. Kate Monahan, as you've already known, she's going to be a Jack in the Box. Eleanor Colvin. She is our secretary. Steve Houston is our interim treasurer. He's deserting. Board members, Kay Panovic. Of course she is. Roya James, Carolyn Dandridge. And have I missed somebody? Oh, yeah, Art. Art's always taking pictures, so, and Art is here. So these are your board members. And Matt Brody, thank you. Matt's email always goes into my spam, so I never hear from him. Art, do you want to come, introduce the committee chairs that are here? Thank you, Art. One of the new committees we started this year is to help plan this event. It's a major time consumer for the board, is an event planning team. I believe we started that last year. Neil Caldwell has agreed to chair that. Where are you, Neil? Oh, jeez. I didn't get a lot of sleep, so. And then we have membership. Susan Crawford has chaired that. She's not here. I'm sorry, I don't have my list with me. Does anybody have a list? Publicity is Carla.
Thank you, Greg.
See, we need help. Matt is chairing the awards committee, and he's always done a great job. Andrew was the Christian certification committee chair. He's stepping down this year, but he's done a wonderful job. Patrick Shones made the mistake of talking to me on the phone one day, so now he's the web committee chair. Same with Eric Alsgaard. He has taken over as chair of the bylaws committee, which we will be dealing with in a few minutes. Advocacy committee, because we made Steve step off the advocacy committee to become interim treasurer, there hasn't been much going on with that this year. So Steve wants to go back to the advocacy committee. And finally, we also created, there's two more, a workshop planning subcommittee, because we knew that, you know, that was, workshops were becoming one of the things that kind of got thrown to the side until a little bit later. So Lisa Cumbus, Michelle, is that it, has agreed to head that workshop. She did a workshop down in Mississippi on media and message, where she combined not only learning about communications, but using it in worship. And it was just a brilliant way of combining the two things. So I'm looking forward to her workshops. And then finally, we have the nominating committee and jurisdictional representatives, and they are the ones that are supposed to bring us names for the board for you to elect. And they are. This year, they're functioning quite well. Neil Caldwell is the Southeast Jurisdictional Rep. And also, we're supposed to maybe have dinners tonight in our jurisdictions. That's certainly been up to the jurisdiction. We just decided the Northeast that we didn't know. So we're going to wander around until we find something to eat. Catherine Witte is the South Central Jurisdiction. Susie Keenan sent me a message yesterday, and she said, I miss you all. I wish I was here. She's the Northeast Jurisdictional Rep. Paul Black is the North Central Jurisdictional Rep. And Greg Nelson. Greg Nelson made the mistake of talking to me on the phone. And it's because Steve went on to the interim treasurer, Greg got to be the Western Jurisdictional nominating and jurisdictional person. So those are all your board members. And we would love to talk to you about being on committees. Let's see. Since I just did that one, why don't we welcome Kay? K, never mind. All right, Matt, why don't you come on up? I know, I've got you on the list. Okay, did you all hear that? North Central Jurisdictional folks meet over by the United Methodist Men display after the last workshop? Or after the meeting? After the meeting, okay.
I'd like everyone to turn to page 16 in their program booklet there. See, you didn't know you were going to have to do work, huh? You there? All right, so I'm here to announce the, I guess, what has become the annual While at UMAC photo competition. We usually call it Capture UMAC. Some people along the years have decided that that is somewhat of a serious thing, and it's not. But I would like to point out the frequently asked questions there, if you haven't already read through them. You don't need a professional camera of any kind. We are discouraging Blackberries, though. So iPhones are fine, but no. And I wanted to make an amendment to number 8 your chances have increased slightly. So, anyway, but the Capture UMAC Photo Competition is just a fun, take pictures, sort of kind of get the gist of what UMAC is about. We do a little presentation of some of the pictures on Friday, and it's just a fun way to sort of document UMAC. When you take a picture that you like, this year I'm going to open it up. You can kind of submit however many you want. Try to keep it below 1,000. Okay, Patrick? but if you'll send them to captureumac@gmail.com, that's the official way to enter a picture. If you forget what that email address is at any point, you can just ask me. Periodically, I'll have the guys at Good News flash it up on the screen to remind you. But that's where you send it, and it's just a fun thing. At the end of Friday, the Friday session, we'll do sort of an award ceremony for that, and the winner will get a sort of a special prize. So, anyway, that's all I've got for that. You may return to your regularly scheduled program.
Apparently that's me. Good morning. Ooh, I'm short. That's a surprise to me for some strange reason. Okay, I'm going to try a little exercise with you. If you have been, I'm not going to worry about it. I have a boom, loud voice. If you have been a member of UMAC, let's say, before 1990, would you please stand and remain standing? Anybody? Before 1990. Okay, if you have been a member since 1995 or before, would you stand up and remain standing? How about, oh, come on, I know some of you don't make me come over there and make you stand up. How many of you have been in UMAC since, let's say, 2000? 2005? 2009? Okay, now, in Rethink Church, we've always been told not to point out the people who are new by asking them to stand up and be embarrassed in front of all of us. So would you turn around and look, and if you see someone seated, those are our people, and notice a couple of them are jumping up right now. Those are our new members. Go ahead and take a seat, please. Thank you for being such good sports. What we would like you to do is take a few moments and get to know each other. We're not going to do that now because we have some other business to do. We are also going to help coordinate a mentorship program, meaning that new members will be assigned to a mentor who's kind of been there, done that. But if you've ever worked in an annual conference or in a local church, you know that every local church is different, and every annual conference is different, and every bishop is different. And so although we don't know exactly what you're going through, some of us have been there, done that to a certain degree. So it is our hope that we'll be able to hook you up with somebody that you can talk to, and maybe if you have a question or a concern, that you'd be able to call that person to say, how about this, Larry High? How about this, HJ? How about this, Kate? And just run things past each other and see if there's a way to do ministry together. So we're going to be talking a little bit more about this. We're looking at a time on Thursday's agenda to get the new members together with people who are interested in being mentors. So if you are interested in being in that mentor program, please see me at some point during the day so I can make sure that you know exactly where to be. Okay? If you have any other questions, please let me know. Sandy?
One of the things that happens when you have a pal that you're going to call on is you get frantic phone calls from somebody that they, do you have to put up with this every day? Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm good. And so that's what I use K for. Steve is our wonderful treasurer, and you've gotten the treasurer's report, and he's going to talk to you about that.
Sandy alluded to it earlier. If you don't recognize me as your treasurer, it's because I wasn't your treasurer last year. And if you didn't know that we have a treasurer, then you're probably not alone. I was asked to transition from the advocacy role, which I really, really liked, into being a treasurer on a temporary basis. I can do numbers. I just don't like to. to make this go as quickly as possible, I handed you a report earlier that's relatively in-depth. For those of you who are visual, it's got nice charts and graphs. They're much nicer in color like I had, but that would have been really expensive to make copies. And since I'm treasurer, I got to pay attention to the bottom line. Key points in the report. Our cash position is pretty solid now, which is good news. Go ahead, give yourselves a round of applause. We had some financial difficulties a couple years ago, and we're now in a much better place, and you can see that in our incomes versus expenses. We're paying for this event based on the registration for this event. We've got a solid amount of money to cover anything that surprises us and that type of thing, so we're in good shape in that point. But the news is not all good, because we also still owe some money for a loan that we had to take out a couple of years ago. If you look in the words part of the report, you'll see that since I was a short timer, I decided I'd go ahead and try to make some recommendations along with the finance committee. Since I don't have to deal with it, I figured now is as good a time as any. The key recommendations, and I guess, are we just going to do these now? The first one I feel is the most important. The finance committee agrees with me. Just basic accounting practice. The treasurer had too much responsibility. They were responsible for all money going into the accounts and coming out of the accounts, which is just a bad idea. Sandy mentioned earlier that we're suggesting that we create a position of registrar who is responsible for putting money into the account, and then the treasurer keeps taking money out of the account. And it makes the job easier for the treasurer, so the new treasurer can't complain to me too much. I guess we are going to take an official vote to create that position.
Well,
I
just introduced her as the registrar because I assumed there was going to be a...
So if you disagree, yell at me now.
Or yell at me because I...
Yell at Sandy now. We're all in agreement. Good. Second recommendation is just about keeping a master list on the website. I don't know that we really need to vote on that. You can see the third recommendation, that we're going to start doing a quarterly audit, which is also a good thing, kind of keeps everybody more secure. And fourth recommendation is that if any of you really want to see the numbers at any given point, you have a right to do that. We don't really need to vote on any of those. So those are just recommendations, FYI. If you have a problem with any of the recommendations, now would be the time to speak up. Otherwise, I'll take it as assuming I'm brilliant and just going along with it. Those are the main points. You have all the numbers, and I don't want to keep you any longer than talking about numbers than you want to. Are there questions? He seconds the budget.
Okay, thank you.
Dan was, I guess, seconding that you accept the report, and then you'll have to vote to take that in, which we can do right now if we want to move along.
Right, unless you want time to look at it.
Yeah. That's right. Greg. What?
We've made one payment.
It was 5.
I think we're down to 10.
So it's down to 10. I've got the numbers. So
we can put that up.
Yeah, we'll put it on the website what the final balance is. We haven't made the payment yet this year. So that'll take place after the meeting, and it's up to the executive board again. A short timer, I'm coming off, but my suggestion, given our cash position, is just to pay the whole thing off so that it's gone.
Either 5 or 10,
No. The original loan was $15,000. We've made one payment. This year's payment hasn't gone. So it's $14,000.
No, the church is against usury, so we didn't get charged 25%.
Good. Any other questions? There is a budget committee.
Oh, she was one of the names I forgot. I would think I would know that name.
The budget committee, Greg, you told me there was more than one person on it. There's one active person on it, which is Victoria Rebeck. Was the active person who worked with me on most of this, and she's not here right now. But and Greg said there was
Marilyn
somebody.
Marilyn Holly is also on that committee. Yeah.
Marilyn Holly is also on the committee. And I'll probably help them out for the next year or so to transition. May not have known that. Now you know. Maybe you'll have more active members now.
Good. Do we have the proposed budget or is that coming back?
The proposed budget is in there.
Okay, so we're also voting to accept the proposed budget. Yes, Carol.
I actually have a question. Why is RCC Congress?
Which one?
At the top of my notes here that you can't see, before we accept it, we need to cross out the RCC Congress. So that is something that we've already fulfilled, and I didn't realize that when I was putting it together. So cross that out. Disregard it.
It's on the
expenses.
Budget, right?
Proposed budget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did make the payment last year. That was our last payment to what we owed them. So
I think we committed to 4,000, something like that. 3,000 over a period of years.
Probably
to
three.
The annual tenure or the 10-year event.
We had UMAC supports with $3,000 given out over a period of time to the RC Congress, which happens every 10 years in Chicago. So this last April was when the RC Congress was. So we fulfilled our obligation to RCC Congress. So.
Anything else? Okay. Now then, I guess we would do the official. Yeah.
So we've amended it in two places.
Mm-hmm.
I would entertain a motion to accept the proposed budget and the recommendations as amended, when the amendments included removing the RCC Congress line on the 2011. What was the other thing? I'm sorry, what? Paying off the loan, yes. Are there any motions, or do you want to bring this back to the floor on Friday? Oh, okay. All those in favor of accepting this? Aye. All those opposed? And everybody, would you please tell Steve thank you, because this is one of the best treasurer reports I've seen. Thank you. Okay. Eleanor? Eleanor is here to talk about... Oh, did I skip right over you, Maidstone? Yeah, sure.
I would like to suggest next time when the budget is presented to us, that it's given to us in advance, that we get a moment to look at it.
We get a moment to look at it before we vote on it. Sure. Just, I think, a good practice.
We'll try to get it up on the web before the meeting starts so that we can receive questions from people who won't be here as well. Eleanor?
Good morning, friends. The minutes are being circulated now. They are as submitted by Art McClanahan, who was your secretary last year. Most of it will be moot because we've already taken care of that business during this year. So as you peruse it, you'll see some of the things that, or you'll recognize things that have already been accomplished throughout the year that were on that checklist. So give it a look over, and if you have any additions or amendments to it, do let us know, or do let me know. That's fine. Sandy's saying so we won't formally accept those minutes until Friday's business meeting. If, as we have discussion among ourselves this week, we find that there's something that needs to be changed. So let me know or let Sandy know throughout the duration of the meeting, and I'll get those updated and we'll approve them on Friday.
I would suggest you put those things in writing because, you know, we're all running around like chickens with our heads cut off. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the board is working out of the Coit Tower room, which is just around the corner. We're not always in there, and the door is locked when we're not there. But you can stop by and see if we're there if you have anything to bring us. Neil Caldwell will give the report of the nominating committee.
Get this mic. Greg Nelson is going to distribute a form that we would like everyone to spend some time considering how you would become more involved with UMAC. As has been mentioned here, there are several committees that need some people, and we would like people who are passionate about different areas to serve UMAC by serving on one of those committees. So we have a list of all of them. There are a number of committees on different subjects that comprise UMAC, and we would like you to indicate your interest in those, and there are several, as mentioned, that need some bodies. So we will collect those at some point, and we will get the data off of it and be in touch. So because most of our officers are continuing, we only have two positions that need to be nominated. And this morning we're going to accept nominations, and then tomorrow during the business meeting, or is that Friday? Friday, thanks. During Friday's meeting, we will do the actual voting on the new officers. The two positions are treasurer, as Steve is moving back to the advocacy committee, which he is very passionate about. Our nomination for treasurer is Linda Rhodes, director of communications in Virginia, has been my boss for 3 years and was in Northern Illinois for a number of years before that. Also, we have an opening as an at-large board member, and we are nominating Lisa Deal from Kansas West Conference to be fill that position. But we also want to open the floor for any other nominations for those two positions. So I'll entertain that right now, if there are any others. Our district reps were introduced earlier, so we've tried to be aware of geographic diversity as well as other kinds of diversity. So we want to be inclusive of everyone. So I hear no additional and see no hands, so I'll consider the nominations closed, and we'll vote again on Friday. Thank you.
Thanks, Neil. We're not here in the order or the names that it shows in your agenda. I don't know if Sandy clarified that earlier, but I've been asked to speak for a minute about how we can engage central conferences as part of UMAC. And the important history to that is part of that is to be aware that in 2004, the General Conference authorized the Central Conference Communications Initiative. And that was not really just taking some Igniting Ministry commercials and playing them in Africa and the Philippines and other Central Conference areas. Instead, the commission looked at how to effectively engage communicators and what were the indigenous needs of that area. And what was really determined is that what we needed was to empower communicators and to look at how we can train and support and supply communication people and communication channels throughout our central conferences, and that even the needs of that vary between different central conferences. Some of the things we've seen come out of that have been the radio initiative in Africa, trainings and supply kits of digital cameras and laptop computers for communicators all across Africa and in the Philippines, and these sorts of programs. So the next step, I just want to add that for me, as a member of the General Commission on Communication, I was really honored to be able to go to Africa. The commission met there to talk about the indigenous needs and processes, as well as to participate in training of African communicators and sitting down and saying, here's what you can do with the computer. And there's some great stories out of that. But that was a wonderful experience for me, and I was honored to represent you and the Methodist Church there. As we look at that empowerment, though, a next logical step is how can UMAC and an association of peers also reach out to do that? Now, I just went through some effective meeting training, and one of the things was that any group larger than seven is not capable of really working and designing something. So I'm not really asking that we today figure out how to solve the problem of how UMAC connects, but I want to raise that this is an important thing we need to do. And I guess I'd like to pause for a couple minutes, and if there are passionate ideas that you have, and if you have any kind of personal passion about this, I'd like to identify that so that we can put together a group that wants to look on how to do this. They'll be working with Tafadzwa Majikaduma, that's pretty close, right? At United Methodist Communications, who is the central conference liaison person and staff there, to look for ways to engage UMAC membership. We also have our Helping Hands scholarship that I think someone else will speak about at another point that helps empower this connection. But we need to look for ways to build this up. And so I raise that as an important responsibility that we have as part of a global church. So toward that end, I want to just stop and say, I need some help here because I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. We have an international guest member here, right? No, we don't. Someone was planning to come but didn't make it. Okay, so I won't resolve that issue and why I hadn't found that person yet. But that's one of the steps, is to say, what can we do to deal with the expense and all that of having international participation? So I just want to pause, and if there are any ideas that anybody just wants to popcorn out and share those that we can capture at this point, we'd love to hear those. The sheet that just went by or was distributed to you does not have a spot for this on it. But if you want to say Central Conference by your name and hand that back to Neil or I or Sandy, then we can help get you connected with a group that's maybe going to look at this issue. Any thoughts anybody has? Right. Neil's pointing out there's a spot there for the Helping Hands Committee, so that's one, another area. Yeah. I think the difference is, this is new to me too, is the difference is we know there's a real expense in getting somebody to come to the meeting. But what about beyond the meeting? What about ongoing the rest of the year, the other 51 weeks, what can we do to strengthen the connection and help empower some of our newest church communicators? Kathy. So Skyping or web streaming,
right,
our meeting to them.
Well, not so much our meeting to them, but yes, having a time that we met together.
Bidirectional.
Right.
Yes.
So even though that would be during the meeting, I think it would develop some relationships and say, hey, we are all part of the same organization.
Cool. So sponsoring a satellite meeting held in a central conference area to bring
but sponsoring
a peer training.
Yeah, like, you know, and then sending like a small group of two or three with different skill sets to do a physical training.
Thank you, yeah. Sandy's saying that might be something you pursue with the General Commission. One of the challenges is that the General Commission's money for the Central Conference Communication Initiative ran out a long time ago. However, the United Methodist Communications Foundation has taken this on and continues to fund these activities. So if anyone taps you for United Methodist Communication Foundation, keep that in mind. Yeah. We'll let Art get the mic here. Otherwise, he just runs back and forth and gets there when people finish.
Yeah. One of my conferences has entered into a partnership agreement with the Zimbabwe East Annual Conference. What would be helpful to us is to know what kinds of resources we as a communications commission in that conference could maybe provide to help them in their work.
So leveraging the partnerships.
I've asked that question through a member of my conference who's on the General Commission, but we haven't really gotten an answer as to what kinds of things would be helpful to them.
We're
trying to figure out how we're going to connect congregations to each other, and how we're going to share those stories back and forth. And so knowing, you know, what kinds of equipment would be helpful in expanding the capability of sharing those stories and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Well,
that would be helpful for us.
What you spawned for me was the relationship between you and the East Zimbabwe
communicator. And Priscilla and I are in communication with each other. We wanted to do it through... Bishop Niwatiwa has been very clear that he wants us to do things through the proper channels. And since the Central Conference Communication Initiative existed, that was the direction that we felt like we needed to go in order to keep things through existing structures.
Okay.
My other conference has partnered with Haiti.
Great.
You know, so there are all kinds of interesting things that we'd kind of like to be able to do to facilitate greater communication back and forth.
I would guess that just got a whole bunch of people thinking about what they could do. So that was great.
If there was some resource list of what the needs were, then we could maybe take on some of that as the communication commissions in the two conferences.
I want to make sure that you talk to Roya or Jackie. Sorry. And make sure you get Tafadzwa's email and send that to him or be in dialogue with him, because I bet he can answer that question fast, particularly for East Zimbabwe, which is his home. So.
And Tafadzwa will be here. He doesn't get in until Thursday morning, but I did let him know that we were having this conversation. So when he gets here, maybe we can maybe bring it up again during the Friday business meeting, because I think he needs to, as the Central Conference Communications Initiative person, he needs to hear some of your concerns or requests. Okay. And Tim, I was looking for Tim Tanton, but we can also tap with him as well.
Just Sandra raised an issue here also is how many people maybe have Facebook relationships with the communicator in their partner conference.
So.
Or others' conferences, yeah. 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 We certainly can. We wanted to start it. This was the fit and capture this, and then partly to see, get your juices flowing and stuff, and then we can continue that. Kathy? Art, microphone over your shoulder there.
There'll be also an opportunity tomorrow afternoon during the Yomcom shop talk if you want to raise some of these specific suggestions. Okay. That would be very helpful.
Great. So I want to wrap this up. Is that okay, Maystone? Go ahead. Okay. Okay. I just want to wrap this part of the conversation up, and because we've done, which is to inspire you to think about this and know that we have some UMCOM staff here that are passionate about this, that Tafadzwa, who has an assignment about this as well as a fantastic passion, will be here later in the week. And you've got that form in front of you that you just passed out, and you're thinking, you know, this matters, so maybe I'm willing to talk to some other people if we have a small group of people working on this to help coalesce some of these ideas, to help Tafadzwa understand annual conference perspectives as he works to resource folks. We have this connection where we have a communication agency that has a responsibility for training us and training them and being in connection, but that's a little different than this peer-to-peer relationship. And we really want to know that the peer-to-peer has this special ability to help each other, and we want to extend that beyond. So I think that's the end of this conversation for now, but please consider participating in this important thing. And that's the end. Thanks. What's that? That's your agenda. Do you want me to steal your agenda again?
Don't steal my agenda. The new director of the Upper New York Conference was invited by United Methodist News Service or United Methodist Communications, which one? Communications, to teach writing at Africa University this summer, and he's going to tell you a little bit about that experience. His name is Maidstone Malinga.
Thank you. In August this summer, I spent 2 weeks with 16 communicators from 10 African countries, and we specifically looked at how we can improve our writing beyond the lead, as I called it. One of the most inspiring things about our fellow communicators from Africa was the enthusiasm they have for telling the story. It was to talk about what Greg mentioned, the peer-to-peer relationship is so very important. Most of the training they've had in the past were done by people who are in many positions but not directly doing what they're doing. As a director of an annual conference, they related to me because some of the things we talked about are things that we're doing as directors of communicators or communicators for annual conferences. Added the fact that I was born in Zambia, just across the border from Zimbabwe, was helped bring another dimension to the training. But out of all that training, some of the things that came out that I wanted to share with you is, apart from the need for them to have equipment, computers, iPads, cell phones, it's that relationship with fellow communicators in the US. One of the things that I have started working with them is a simple act of editing. They would send me their stories that they're writing, and I take a look at them, make a few suggestions, and send it back. And if you want to start one relationship, that's one relationship. Find one or two communicators and get in touch with them. If they have some work they want to do, you can take a look at it. Offer some suggestions, especially when they are being asked to write for American audience. Writing for their own audience is different as writing to the audience here in the US. So one of the toughest things they want to do is, how do they tell a story that is in Africa to interest the audience in the US? So if you are in a relationship with one of those communicators, you'd help share that perspective with them. The other thing that came out is the need for other non-electronic resources. Like, one of the things that I found when I talked about the work we do as communicators is that they don't have a book of discipline. By the time a book of discipline gets to them, it's outdated already. I had people quoting not even the 2004, but 2000, way beyond book of discipline. I serve on the board of directors for the United Methodist Publishing House, and one of the things I'm asking the publishing house at our meeting next week is for them to make a donation of Book of Disciplines to the African communicators. Those are some of the things we can help out our brothers and sisters in the central conferences. And finally, I want us, I'll ask us to celebrate the connection. We need to celebrate the fact that we are together doing this work together. Not them, us. We are all in this to tell the story, to live the gospel of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So if we build this relationship beyond just giving them equipment, but having real relationship, they are all over on Facebook. They are all over. You can go to United Methodist Communication and you can Google them and you find one. Just find one and build a relationship with them. And that relationship will help us celebrate the connection. The 2 weeks that I spent at Africa University talking and sharing knowledge with those communicators were some of the best weeks in my life in doing this ministry, in doing this work for God. So I thank you. And those who want to talk to me about it further can find a moment to share with me. Thank you.
Rob Naylor, and I can't remember your title, and you're not wearing your name tag, so you get demotion.
I took it off. Prosthetics.
He's going to talk to you about Imagine No Malaria.
Cool. Thank you all so much for. I'm a new member, and to have a little bit of time to talk to you is anxiety driven for me, although not as much as what those people are seeing behind me. So it kind of makes me want to stand over here. But at any rate, I am the communicator for Imagine No Malaria. Some of you may have heard of it, probably only on a very basic awareness sense. I've been doing my job at United Methodist Communications for about a year and a half now, and getting up to speed. I've seen all the wonderful video that's been taken on trips to Africa, and you've all seen Mike DeBose's work, and it's breathtaking. And it's been a great motivator for me. But this past August, I had the opportunity to go to Sierra Leone, where we'll have a net distribution next month. And it was amazing to me the difference between, you can look at pictures all day long and see the video and hear the voices, but when you're there, the magnitude of the problems and the poverty are just kind of hit you in a different way. We took some pictures. I've got some amateur photography, just some of the faces that we saw on our trip, and especially in the rural part of the country where folks they're kind of off the radar a little bit. They don't often get the attention or the visitation that we were able to give for that. And it set me back. That one's a little dark. I apologize. Again, that's iPhone photography, so maybe it should be taken out of the photo contest. But it set me back as, and I don't know how many of you are parents or have nieces and nephews, but I'm a father of a 7-year-old who's kind of goofy, a little bit like his dad. And what that trip did for me was kind of set in perspective. I know how I feel when my son Jake has a cold and maybe even a fever. But I also know I can give him Tylenol or take him to the pediatrician, and it's not a life-threatening kind of thing. But still, I think we all agree it's a pretty helpless feeling when your own child is suffering in any way. But then to go a step further and see folks that you know their children not only are suffering but may not live to see the next day. And what is it, like 1 in 5 don't live to be 5 years old. And that kind of hit me in a different way. It was kind of an aha moment when I was there. And it kind of reframed how we're moving forward in this fight against malaria. And just to talk a little bit about Imagine No Malaria, the overall goals are to eliminate malaria deaths in Africa by 2015. That's part of the Millennium Development Goals. In order to do so, we're working to raise $75 million, which usually evokes some kind of a gasp collectively. It is a lot of money. And what that will enable us to do as a worldwide community is to empower the folks in Africa to a sustainable victory over malaria. How we'll do that, so far, you know, we've worked with Nothing But Nets. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Nothing But Nets. And it's a great program, and it's something that we are continuing to do because bed nets are the most effective prevention measure out there and available, and they're fairly inexpensive. What we're able to do with that $75 million is take it that next step further and add all of these additional elements to it. Now, I'm generalizing because obviously the folks at UMCOR have done some of these kinds of things, but the scale that we're talking about increasing warrants the $75 million. So they go hand in hand. And not only that, it's something that, you know, that we as a church can achieve. It's not definitely not beyond us. The kind of giving that goes to the advance, quite frankly, dwarfs what we're trying to do with Imagine No Malaria. So we're working towards that goal. And what we have is some resources. You know, the Imagine No Malaria office is based in Nashville, and we've got some resources available. We've got a website. Obviously, social media is part of what we do. We also have a monthly e-newsletter. And working on content for a weekly, kind of an email blast, like an aggregate of what's been going on, not only in the campaign, but in the world of malaria prevention overall. And I want to offer those things to you as communicators, because you have enough on your plate without having to go dig and find and worry about what, you know, how do we talk about Imagine No Malaria and how do we get this message out. We have all that. And if we don't have it in one of those, I have newsletter stories that are ready to go. Introduction. We have one that we call Nets Plus, which is in essence what Imagine No Malaria is. And it helps frame and communicate what we're trying to accomplish in that context. And one of the things that we're hoping to get some help from you all to get that word out, we officially launched in April on World Malaria Day, which is April 25th. And we're ramping up, and we're taking this denomination wide in a big way. And Bishop Bickerton will be here tomorrow during the luncheon to share some of the big plans that we have to bring that message across the denomination. But at the end of the day, and I don't want to steal his speaking points, but just like Nothing But Nets, it kind of starts here in this room. We talked about how when we launched Nothing But Nets, that was one of the first things that was done, was he visited the UMAC meeting and talked about it, and that's what really was the catalyst, the springboard for the excitement throughout the denomination. So if possible, what I'm asking is I would love to see some kind of a page or a landing page on conference websites. We've got some in Western Pennsylvania, North Texas, Southwest Texas, Baltimore, Washington just launched their Imagine No Malaria effort on October 1st, and they have a great landing page there as well, just to kind of help build some of that presence. Inclusion in monthly publications. Once we have that weekly email blast going, obviously would love to see that included in something a little bit more frequent. But again, if there are needs that you have that we're not offering, that's what I want to hear. I mean, I'm my job is to serve you all and help you do that job in an easier, more effective way. And again, it's about getting the word out, because eventually all of the annual conferences will be working on Imagine No Malaria, and to have that prep in advance would be pretty valuable. And right now, as far as I'm concerned, there's no better time than the present. But, you know, if there's any questions you have, I've got business cards on me and then certainly some at the table. But if there are any resources I can provide, I would love to get some of those things started as soon as possible. We have that monthly e-newsletter. And if I can get a nod, it's not an official motion, but if I can get nods, I mean, to add you all to that distribution list. I don't want to do it in an unsolicited kind of way, but even if you don't nod, I'm going to add you to the list. But that's what I would like to do, and I didn't want to do that preemptively before, at least having some time before you to talk about it, so you were aware of, oh, what is this that's popping up in my email inbox. And I think that's the last slide. That's my contact info. You all are certainly welcome to, and I know some of you already have contacted me about some needs, some promotional, and quite frankly, some questions, which right now, if if we do have a minute or two, I mean, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to at least try to answer them.
We need to be moving on.
Okay, we'll move on. And but I'll be around all week, and certainly Bishop Bickerton will be visiting with us tomorrow as well. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Rob. They say that it's never give clergy an opportunity to give a speech, and because we're running over because you gave a communicator an opportunity for speech, we're going to have to rush through this. Eric Alsgard, and we're actually suggesting a tiered membership proposal, which we do not have a copy of right now, but we will get it up on the web and have copies for you to expand, to create a student retire level, a professional, and a local church level. We have local church communicators with us now. It's another relationship we want to start building with. Cal Nevada did something fabulous this year. They passed a resolution that all local churches have to have a communicator. So if we are going to see conferences do that, and I'm hoping we're going to encourage conferences to do that, then we need to be in relationship with those local church communicators and answering their needs as well. So that will be available to you on the web. I'll send out an email notice when that's available. And the proposed bylaw revision that we promised you and have had to be revised three times since they were first proposed, which was 2007, will also be available. And Eric's going to come go over some... No, he's not. No time. So... Just it deals with the relationship with UMCOM, our nonprofit status, and I think it simplifies the number of standing committees. So it is going to be the main point is going to be the relationship with UMCOM and the nonprofit status, which we're still working with. So we are fair. If there's no questions, we're adjourned. What? I'm decided that PR people don't say, what the hell do you want?
I apologize for not doing a better job of giving you advance notice of where the workshops are located. There should be signs outside those rooms, but I'll give you a rundown for today. First, let me say that all of the UMITA workshops are going to be right across the hall in the Ghirardelli room. UMITA has that space, and that is theirs to have their meetings, and all their workshops will be there. So if you're attending one of the wonderful UMITA workshops, as I plan to do, it will be in the Ghirardelli room right across the hall. In this space, coming up this morning, is Dr. Law's workshop, Cyberspace and Sacred Space. This afternoon, viral video will be in this space. I don't think I need to go into tomorrow yet because I'm afraid I'll confuse you. The photographers were... Yes, I'll come back to that. Beyond bullet points and recitations, the effective PowerPoint presentations will be in the Knob Hill room that is upstairs, and I believe you can access it by going up these stairs, but you certainly can take the elevator to the mezzanine level. You will need to go through the double doors to find the workshop rooms, I am told. So the Knob Hill room for Beyond Bullet Points and Recitations, the later in the morning workshop, Rethink Church, Prepare to Engage will be in that same room, Knob Hill. Copyright Essentials in the both workshops, we'll have the early workshop and the later workshop of Copyright Essentials today will be in the Lombard room, which again is on the mezzanine level, go through the double doors. And I think that I've covered everything except the care and feeding of photographers. Many of you know, perhaps all of you know, that Mike DuBose lost his mother overnight, not last night, but the night before, and is unable to be with us, of course. But I believe Matt Brody...
Well, the first session is going to be... Okay. All right. This morning, Wayne Rhodes is going to present Pelosi Said What about dealing with controversy in the church, and when your people call and say, the United Methodist Church doesn't believe that, so how do you deal with those kind of controversies? He's going to teach that this morning and tomorrow morning. Matt Brody is going to lead the care and feeding of photographers this afternoon, and I believe, Matt, it's going to be kind of a walking, let's go take pictures, San Francisco, and we might accidentally end up at the wharf and do something fun. So,
and if you aren't going with Matt to the wharf, the Wayne's workshop will be in the fisherman's wharf, I guess, room upstairs as well. So, I'm sorry, downstairs? Okay, downstairs, thank you. So the fisherman's room or the fisherman's wharf room downstairs for Pelosi Said What this morning and again tomorrow. And the final reminder that I have for you, if you will be gracious enough to kind of respect the space on the other side as our dining space for everything except our shop talk tomorrow afternoon, just in those times when the staff needs to prepare for another meal. And of course, we invite you to congregate here in the lobby and wherever else, and there as long as they don't need to clear tables. But that's my pitch.
That was in the Russian Hill room.
Russian Hill, thank you.
Yeah. Which is upstairs?
Yes, I think.
Okay. So, and we go to. Okay, we have time for a break, and then what, Dan? Those are to consider over the. We will accept them on Friday. Okay, I'm sorry.
One more, I'm sorry. And we want to remind you or to tell you, if you did not know, that lunch is being provided courtesy the Rethink Church folks. And that will be in the dining space across the divider. So you're invited to participate with us and hear some great things from them.
So help yourself. We'll see you in a bit. And let workshop people set up their workshops.